Hey, welcome to It's Just Life with mother-daughter combo Karen and Gia. In this podcast, we'll chat about the ups and downs of life here on planet Earth. Come along for the ride.
Hey everyone, welcome to It's Just Life with Karen and Gia. We're really glad you're joining us today. And speaking for myself, I'm really excited about this podcast so far. This is now our sixth episode and we're having a great time doing the podcast. I hope you all are enjoying listening to us. So I'll say hi to Gia and how are you doing today, Gia?
Hi guys, this is Gia. I'm doing well. It's been rainy here in San Diego, which is different, but it's nice to have that change in environment and in energy. And yeah, I'm so excited to be here and to talk about our topic today.
Yeah, same here. So to give you a little introduction to our topic, this topic really grew out of the topic for our last episode in which we talked about the idea, does everything happen for a reason or not? And that came from a blog post that Gia and I had both read. So if you haven't listened to episode 5, you may want to go back and listen to that as we talk about coping with grief when things go wrong, when people die, when tragedy happens in our lives, and how we live with that and how we carry it and get through that. But as Gia and I were talking in advance before that podcast, a couple of things came up for both of us. One is the fact that just recently a friend of mine died just a little less than a month ago, when she was struck by a car. She was crossing the street in a crosswalk, crossing legally with, you know, the walk sign, and a car turning left at that intersection hit her and killed her. She died of her injuries. The car was driven by a 19-year-old young man who said he was distracted and was looking in the back seat for something and not really paying attention. And when he looked up and saw Maria and her boyfriend in the crosswalk, there wasn't time to stop, and he ended up hitting them. And Maria died of her injuries. But Gia right away brought up, oh my gosh, the poor kid who hit her. And that made us want to discuss the topic of forgiving the unforgivable and how do we find compassion for someone who has done harm like this young man. So Gia, maybe you could shed some light on what was coming up for you as we talked about that story.
Sure. Yeah, I immediately felt so much compassion for that young kid. He was like 19, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And knowing that we've all made mistakes like that, I don't think any one of us can say that we are perfect or saintly and that we haven't also texted while driving or not paid attention or been changing the radio. And it easily could have been us. Mm-hmm. And my heart went out to him immensely in that moment. And it also reminded me of another story. When I was living in Los Angeles, I was teaching yoga to some music students. And one of my students became a private student of mine. I gave him a private lesson and he loved it. He wanted to sign up. He was actually recovering from cancer at the time. And literally the next morning, he was killed. He was also a pedestrian who was struck by two cars, and both of those cars had young people driving, and I think there were like more than one person in both of the cars. And again, I felt immense compassion and pain for those young people, you know, no matter how old they are. That is just such an awful thing to go through, and whether you can be at fault or not, you know, it sounds like this 19-year-old kid, it sounds like he was at fault, technically, according to the law. And that is just, oh, it's so awful to think about. But even in the case of it being a complete accident, like in my yoga student's case, it was apparently his fault that the accident occurred. But yeah, it just made me feel like none of us can really point fingers, because I think that going back to last week's podcast or episode 5, I think it did happen for a reason, and it was only meant to be to happen for that kid in that situation, because it's otherwise too random that we all could easily be murderers at this point, because we're all just living. We're all making mistakes all the time. Mm-hmm. So that was my initial reflection on it.
Yeah, as I thought about it, you know, a slew of memories came back to me of times when, oh, I was driving a little too fast on an icy road and my car spun out a little bit. And I recognized in that moment, had there been a pedestrian nearby, I could have hit someone easily in that moment. And I was just being slightly careless, you know, in a rush to get home and driving faster than I should have been. And then, I mean, I thought of dozens of times when I've taken small chances like that, when someone could have been in harm's way and I would have inadvertently harmed them without intending to, but only because I just wasn't fully paying attention or fully taking responsibility for what I was doing in that moment. And while I can breathe a sigh of relief, like, thank God, none of those things have happened for me when I've been driving, it easily could have happened. I easily could have been a driver in one of those situations. So you're right. Like, each one of us has had plenty of episodes when we haven't been as careful as we should be. And, you know, luckily for each one of us, thank God, we haven't had to go through the trauma of harming someone else by our actions.
Yeah, and you never know if it could happen. And we can have as much intention as possible to be careful and aware, but sometimes I think it's meant to be. And it seemed like the reaction to this incident, the one that you're talking about, your friend who was recently killed, it seemed like people were angry and frustrated with the young guy. Is that right?
I had that sense that there was definitely some anger. And I can say, in the past, as a doctor and dealing with lots of people as they've faced tragedies, that's often the outcome, is that it's often one of the ways that people actually cope with their grief is to point the finger of blame at someone else. And if they can find someone to blame or someone whose fault it was that this happens, it provides a certain amount of meaning to them, I guess, a certain explanation for them is that person was a bad person who did something wrong, and that is why this happened. So they use blame toward another person as a way to explain what has happened, so that they're not lost in just this uncertainty and unknown of a random event that just happened that no one can explain or understand. That being able to blame someone at least gives them a sense that they can find some sort of reason for it. And the reason is always that was a bad person who did something wrong.
Oh my God, that's so true. And for the person who was the person who made the mistake or the error or became the incidental murderer, they probably end up feeling the guilt and putting the blame on themselves too, because from a rational perspective, that's the only thing that makes sense. It's like, this was my fault. I did this. I must be a bad person. Don't you think, like, those people are going through that shame?
Oh, yes. I mean, I can't even imagine it. I can't even imagine how deep that burden of guilt would be and how heavy it would be, of feeling like, you know, I made this one small mistake, but it ended up killing someone. Like, how awful would that burden be? And of course, you would blame yourself for it.
Yeah, and I've heard stories about people texting while driving and killing themselves in a car accident, but we somehow don't put that much blame on those people, because it's kind of like, oh, well, they harmed themselves and, you know, they messed up their own lives. But it's, I just think there's more to it than the eye can see. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to reach out to all of these people who became, you know, accidental killers and just tell them, hey, what if this was a soul contract and you came here specifically to do this? You fulfilled your role, and this is extremely important. As painful as it is, we needed this. We need you. And do you think that's a possibility, Mom?
Well, I think that is like the highest vision you can have of a situation like that, is to see it from that perspective. But I'm curious to know if a person who's feeling guilt about their own behavior and their actions would accept that as an explanation, or wondering if those people need to be lost in kind of guilt and self-punishment for a while in order to get out from under it, in order to live with it, if they somehow need to feel punished in a way. And maybe they would reject an explanation that would help them let go of that burden, especially if it came too soon.
Yeah, that's true. I think they have to go through their grieving process too. Mm-hmm. But I can, referring back to the story about my yoga student who was killed in a car accident, that really unfolded so many other miracles. That, like, his death, you know, unfortunate as it was, led to so many other beautiful occurrences. And it benefited me, because it really deepened my spirituality, knowing that I was one of the last people to see this kid, and I taught him a private yoga lesson on the last day of his life. That really touched me and struck me deeply. And it led me to actually become the fill-in lead singer of his band that kept playing after his death. And because I had been connected to him that one day, I ended up becoming close with his family. I ended up writing a song about him and, like, essentially channeling this beautiful song about him, and then becoming one of the singers in his band. And I saw it also transform a lot of other people and deepen their awakening and deepen their reality. And we were able to sort of connect with his soul on the other side. And his parents did, you know, talk to astrologers and talk to psychics, and, like, numerous people said that as psychic mediums, they were connecting to him, and he was saying, this is all perfect. Like, I'm home. Like, this was meant to be. And so I wanted to share all of that beauty and healing with these people who had the unfortunate responsibility of taking his life. And I wanted to let them know, so much has happened and this was horrible, but I want you to know that, like, how much healing has taken place and how much growth has happened. And I remember that my student's mom knew, she had, like, access to the information of these other drivers, and she definitely couldn't reach out to them. And I totally understand. It's way too deep. It's way too hard. But I, just as kind of like more of a third party, you know, bystander, felt this calling to reach out to them, and I never did, but it feels important to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you think about it, I mean, how little solace there is in the world, how little comfort there is out there for someone who does do harm to another person. You know, we're a pretty harsh society in general in terms of judging people who do wrong and making sure they get punished, making sure that justice is done. And so I feel like there isn't a lot of compassion in our society. There isn't a lot of understanding or forgiveness for someone who has made a mistake, who has done something wrong, particularly when it has led to the harm of another person. And so I think it would be amazing and beautiful to reach out to those drivers and be able to let them know, here's a part of the story that you probably are not aware of at all. Here's something that you haven't heard that you should know about. And there's something similar is happening right now in the case of Maria. You've had more time to watch it unfold after your friend's death. And in the case of my friend, right now what's happening is people are connecting who have known her. There's this whole network forming of people connecting and reaching out to one another and finding that they have, it's a really important connection that's forming, and they never would have met each other or known each other if it hadn't been for her death. And it happened for me. A person contacted me and said, she listened to a podcast I did about Maria's death, and then she and I started corresponding by email and have connected now. And she said, I feel Maria smiling even now because we got to meet one another through this process. And so, and similar to your friend, a number of mediums have come forward and said, Maria is sending messages to everyone that all is well. She's fine and she's surrounded by light and love, and don't worry about her. And like you, I would love for the driver to be able to hear that message and to know that.
I know, like they need to be included in this process because they suddenly stepped into this person's world by taking their life. And it feels like I wish people who knew and loved Maria could open their arms to that person, to that kid as well, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think maybe in other cultures that's a little bit more of a common practice. Have you heard anything about that? Like, you know, even just criminals, like people who commit crimes in certain cultures are then taken into the community, and rather than being punished, they're treated with love and compassion, knowing that somebody who intentionally committed a crime must be suffering deeply and need the community's love and support.
I was thinking, and I will probably get this wrong, so I'll tell this, but I may not have it right, but that there's an African tribe, I think I read about, that when someone commits wrongdoing somehow, or what is considered a crime or does harm to someone, the whole community forms a circle around the person who has done harm. And they, I'm not sure exactly what they do, if they sing to that person or they talk to them, but they form this circle of like love. And it's kind of that idea of holding space that we talked about in the last episode. They bring the person to the center and they create a healing circle for the person who has done harm. And it's their way of saying, you are still part of us and we still accept you and we still love you in spite of the harm. And now that you've done harm, you are wounded and you are someone who needs our healing and love. And I think that's phenomenal. I love that. I love that concept.
Yeah, I love that so much. And in these situations where it was an accident that these people took someone else's life in a car accident, although it's, you know, it's difficult to forgive, it at least seems conceivable because their intention was pure. They had no intention of harming anyone else and it was an accident. But how powerful would it be if we could show that compassion and forgiveness even to people who did have the intention of harming someone else? Mm-hmm. Knowing that what they need more than anything is acceptance and love and healing. And man, I mean, that'd be incredible. I think we're pretty far away from that.
Yeah.
It sounds like some of these tribes practice that.
Yeah. I was thinking about, I read a survey that had been done here in the U.S. of Americans and how they feel about forgiveness. And I think if I'm correct about this, over 50% of people in the survey said they believe there are actions that should never be forgiven. So there are a lot of people who feel that there are things for which you should not forgive another person. that goes totally counter for me to my understanding of what forgiveness is. So I have in my sense that I need to forgive everyone for everything. And that if you're practicing forgiveness, it needs to be universal. It needs to be for the whole and for everyone. And that is the mindset we need to have about it. But our country as a whole is pretty far from that attitude.
Oh my God, Mom, I just thought of the story of Matthew Shepard and his parents. Will you tell that story?
Oh, yes, if I can get these details right, that Matthew was a young gay man who was living in Laramie, Wyoming, who was taken from a bar by two men and beaten almost to death and then hung on a fence post in the wintertime or very cold and bitter outside, and he was hung there on a fence post where he died. And his family, first of all, they went on to form a foundation, and their foundation is all about raising awareness about love and forgiveness and compassion. But what happened
and
when
he was a young gay college student who was apparently flirting with these other guys who beat him to death, right?
Yes. And okay. He stirred up their homophobia and their fear of that.
It was a hate crime, essentially.
A hate crime. Yeah. So when the two men were brought to trial in Laramie, I guess they were facing the death penalty, and Matthew Shepard's family, parents, asked the judge not to impose a death penalty because they felt that Matthew would not want that, and that Matthew would not want someone else to die, and that they didn't want that either, that they wanted to bring an end to hatred, and they didn't feel that taking someone else's life would serve that end. And so they advocated for the two men to be to not be given the death penalty. And there was another like really amazing thing, I guess, on the day of Matthew's funeral. A group showed up from a hate group from a church that's very homophobic and anti-gay, and they showed up and protested with signs, and they horrible, hateful signs, and lined the sidewalk from the church or the place where the funeral was being held. And apparently a huge number of citizens from the community showed up, and they wore like, I hope I have the story right, but they wore angel wings, and they lined the sidewalk in front of the protesters to block them from view with these huge angel wings so that the family wouldn't have to see the signs or hear their shouts. They lined the sidewalk to protect the family from the protest that was going on, which was amazingly sweet that happened. And then also it snowed that day on the day of the funeral and just blanketed the whole area, I was told, with like beautiful sparkling white snow. And they said the snow itself was like so soft and beautiful, and that it somehow took the edge away from all the pain and the hatred that had been there. So anyway, the whole story was like this amazing story of redemption and forgiveness and courage on the part of these parents who had lost their son to such a brutal death, to see that they could move on with their lives. And then they created this foundation that helps stop hate crimes. It's a really amazing and beautiful story, and that they have transformed Matthew's death into something that's making the whole world a better place.
God, that is so amazing. And I don't know how his parents and others like them are able to act with such compassion. And a lot of us get mad at somebody for, you know, rear-ending us or cutting us off on the road or taking the last donut or whatever it is.
Something
so simple that we can't forgive because we're caught up in our egos. But what do you think it is that allowed them this much grace? Do you know?
I don't know for sure, but in my mind, I mean, partly I wonder if it was Matthew himself and like Matthew's loving spirit and who he was in life and represented, and that they felt that he would not hate anyone and they could not hate someone either. You know, in honoring him and honoring his memory, they would not bring more hatred into the world because they wanted to honor who he was. So I think that he was a really special person, but obviously his parents were really special too, because it's phenomenal to imagine being able to rise above all of that pain and suffering and all of, I mean, if anyone has a right to point a finger of blame, they certainly did. Our whole society supported them in blaming and hating these two perpetrators, but they acted out of love instead. And I think they should be role models for all of us. Like, their courage and compassion should stand up for us as this is what we should be striving for in our lives. This is how we should want to behave in the future when something tragic happens in our lives.
Yeah, good answer. I feel like it totally was like Matthew's soul who could inspire that much grace, you know, I think is a good word for it. And I was just thinking about how, kind of going back to like, does everything happen for a reason? Is everything planned? Or does a higher power get involved in making something beautiful happen out of tragedy? I think that maybe from the highest perspective of all, like from that of the spirit realm, if you will, things that happen on Earth don't have as much polarity as good or bad or black and white as they do when we're living it here. Mm-hmm. Kind of going back to the garden view and the galaxy view again. So maybe what we see as being so tragic and awful doesn't hold that same weight and gravity in terms of being good and bad from the highest perspective of the spirit. And maybe that's what allows such grace and forgiveness to be possible when you can basically see it like an angel would.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the perfect answer, that when we ourselves can rise to that galaxy view and get a higher perspective of what's happening and realize that a physical death here on planet Earth does not mean the end of that person's existence. And this, I'm speaking, of course, for all of us who believe that there is something beyond this life, that there is some sort of afterlife. I know not everyone believes that, so some people might be not resonating with how we're talking right now, but when you hold that understanding that there's something so much bigger and greater than just this lifetime here on planet Earth, then we come to accept that each one of us will die, and we have our own time frame, and we will have our own path toward our own physical death here on Earth. But as souls, we don't die. We move on to a different plane. And the birth and the life and the death that took place here on Earth were all part of our learning experience. So we don't have to cling to that too much or place as much weight on it, on how it unfolds and what happens, because it was just part of many, many, many learning experiences for our souls and many things that our souls have encountered along the way.
Yeah. I think from this conversation, it feels like we can say that accidents don't really happen, because there is purpose in everything, whether it was fated or it was, you know, we simply responded by giving it meaning, by creating healing. And maybe we can inspire everyone to respond to tragedy and the unforgivable with grace, with love, with kindness, and try to see it from that higher perspective where we're all meant to interact in these ways that don't always make sense to the logical mind, but it could be any one of us, and we don't know what's going to happen or how it's going to pan out. So to open your heart to others who have done you wrong or someone else who you love and care about, and just and recognize that we're all playing important parts in each other's lives. And if we could respond to tragedy with grace and love instead of blame and anger, I think it creates, you know, 100 times the amount of positive energy than it would had we tried to, like, fight against that person and make them wrong and punish them.
Mm-hmm. And I think if we look to the idea that we are all really one, we are all really united, and our suffering is one of the things that we all living beings here on this planet have in common, then when one life is lost, we all feel the pain of that loss. We as a whole humanity and bear the pain of that loss. But when one of us harms another, we all also bear that pain as well. And so it's up to us to respond to all of it with as much compassion as we can bear, and to keep opening our hearts more and more and more in order to hold and carry more love and more compassion for the suffering that's taking place, the suffering for those who lose their lives, who lose someone they love, the suffering for those who harm another, and have equal compassion for all of it.
Yes, and for yourself, especially for yourself. Even if you have intended to harm someone and you later regret it, open your heart to yourself and try to create something beautiful from it.
Yeah, and I think in truth, each one of us has been a wrongdoer. Each one of us has brought harm to someone else in some way or another. Each one of us has made mistakes, and we've done things that we wish we hadn't done or said things we hadn't said, and maybe we have not intended to harm anyone, but each one of us, we're all carrying some sort of guilt and some sort of trauma of our own over things that have happened in the past. So you're right, we need to begin with that compassion for ourselves and forgive ourselves first, so that we can extend that forgiveness to the whole and to everyone else out there.
Yes, totally. Because a lot of times we don't even understand the harm that we are doing to someone else, because that's their reality. That's their journey. So you just being you, you know, could be hurting someone without you knowing it, because that's their process. That's what they're learning from their interaction with you. And so knowing that it's okay to love yourself, it's okay to forgive yourself, and continue trying to have good intentions and continue trying to love, knowing that none of us are perfect and we're not going to make everyone happy. And So start with yourself. Start by loving yourself and let that love grow and expand to encompass everyone and the whole planet as much as you can.
And one quick reminder too, that I sometimes hear people say all the time, the reason I don't want to forgive that person is that it would let them off the hook for what they did wrong. But you know what? It's not our job to hold other people responsible for what they've done in their lives. That's not up to us. Other people are carrying their own pain and their own guilt. And so our forgiveness of someone doesn't remove the responsibility that they are carrying and dealing with. Our forgiveness just alleviates the pain we're holding on to by remaining bitter and resentful. So I think that's a misconception about forgiveness. And some people think, if I forgive this person, then I'm saying it's okay that they did what they did. But that's not really how it is. What you're saying is, I'm not going to continue to react to what happened with anger and hatred and bitterness. I'm going to let go of it.
Yes. And you don't have to hold on to that burden. I think you can trust that they will come to learn in their own time and in their own way whatever lessons they're meant to learn. And it's not your job to hold on to anger and to not forgive. It's really only harming you and weighing you down. So let that weight off of your shoulders and be light and be free and be full of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess I guess as a takeaway, as we come to the end of this discussion, is first of all, to make forgiveness of others be the goal, to make compassion and forgiveness be something that we're constantly working towards, trying to open our hearts more, trying to accomplish more love and more forgiveness in the world, and then to use the galaxy view, the highest view we can get to in the situation, to help us find a way to forgive and to have compassion.
Yep, absolutely. Sending you guys lots of love, and thanks so much for listening. We'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, take care, everyone, and please tune in. We love you, and we're so glad to have you being part of It's Just Life. So join us again every Friday for a new episode. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to It's Just Life podcast. Be sure to tune in to our weekly episodes, share them with your friends, and leave us a comment. Until next time, remember, it's just life.